This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 9:09. I was walking out of a grocery store on Labor Day, and I had some people collecting money for autism, and I got to talking to them, and I have a teacher in the family that teaches autistic children, and I thought, you know what? I think a lot of people know of autism, but they don't know about it. So I thought I'd spend an hour to try to educate all of us on autism and what it is and what causes it and treatments and education, et cetera. Dr. Krista James is our guest, co-director of Louisiana Leadership Education in Neurodevelopmental and Related Disabilities, LEND, the LEND program. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. Thank you.
I want to educate people on this because a lot of times people misuse words and they don't understand what they're talking about. So I thought I'd clear up a lot of that with you if we can. First of all, what is autism? I think a lot of people maybe misuse the word or use it interchangeably where they shouldn't.
Yeah, autism is a neurodevelopmental disability, and it's something that, you know, lots of people in the United States have or have a family member that has. So now we're at, you know, one in 31 children are diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder. And I think it's really important to remember that autism is a spectrum disorder. So people that have autism can look very different from one person to the next. Because, you know, people may have impairments in their levels that they're able to communicate verbally. They may have autism that impacts their ability to socialize. They may have autism that impacts their behaviors. So it really looks different from one person to the next. And that's why it's really important that you know, everyone is educated about autism and so that parents know what they're looking for so that because we know that the best prognosis is to identify it early, to get that early diagnosis and to get kids receiving services at a very early age.
When you say neurodevelopmental, that means what?
Yeah, it means that we know that there's it has to appear in those early childhood years, and it affects all aspects of development in a child. And we know that there is, you know, a genetic and environmental cause working together to be able to cause autism. We're still doing a lot of research to be able to figure out exactly what that is. But we do know that it affects kind of that overall development of a child.
Before we go any further, I may as well address the elephant in the room, vaccines and autism, because I know people are going to hear autism and immediately jump to vaccines and not listen to anything else we say. So is there any link between vaccines and autism?
There's not. And I can see why people kind of jump to that because the signs of autism appear right around the time that kids are receiving their vaccines. But there's been decades and decades of research trying to find a link between vaccines and autism, and they just haven't been able to find any link. So we know that that vaccines do not cause autism, even though it's really easy to see. It's scary to think, you know, whenever you take your child in to get their vaccines and then you start seeing signs of autism right around that same time. It's easy to link those things, but we know that there's not an actual cause, a link between vaccines and autism.
So when it comes to diagnosing autism, there are three domains that they talk about, right? And disturbances in three domains?
Yeah, so we really look at that social communication and social interaction. Those areas where the social aspects of communication and language are affected, and then also their ability to socially interact with other people. And then we look at those aspects of behavior where there's restricted and repetitive behaviors. And the combination of those is how people, doctors, psychologists are able to diagnose autism.
Let's, I want to open the phone lines here, the text lines at 504-260-1870. If y'all have any questions about autism at all, we're going to spend an hour with Dr. Krista James, co-director of Louisiana Leadership Education and Neurodevelopmental and Related Disabilities LEND program. We're talking about autism and trying to educate ourselves on this. It's primarily between the ages of 1 and 3, doctor, that a child is diagnosed, and does it rarely go beyond that?
Well, actually, most people, most kids are diagnosed from that 3 to 5.
Oh, 3 to 5. Range. Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's really, our ages have lowered significantly in the United States because, pediatricians are now incorporating the autism screenings in very young children. So like at 18 months to 24 months old, they're starting to screen during those well child visits to start looking for signs of autism in those early years.
What are the signs? I know we went into some of them, but I'm seeing things like the spinning wheel of a toy car or hand movements, those kind of things?
Yeah, so those would be what we're thinking of when we think of those restricted and repetitive behaviors. Mm-hmm. It may be that kids have a really difficult time with changes in their routine. It may be that their language is delayed. There's lots of different indicators, but it doesn't necessarily mean that a child has to have every one of those indicators because, like I said, kids are very different. So they look at a range of different indicators over those domains, and then looking at, can it be attributed to anything else besides autism before they actually make that diagnosis.
Somebody texted in, they said they have a brand new granddaughter, and they want to know what are the early signs of autism.
Yeah, so if the best thing to do is to go online and look at the MCHAT. And I would recommend that, any parents with young children, go and pull up and look at the MCHAT and start looking at those signs of autism because it could be, not responding whenever you call their name. It could be that they are doing those repetitive behaviors like the hand flapping or the toe walking or spinning, being overly focusing on a particular piece of a toy car, instead of rolling the car and going vroom vroom and playing mm-hmm. with it, maybe they're spinning the wheel and really being focused on that particular piece of the car. There's lots of different indicators that parents should be aware of so that they can get that help early.
Is autism on the rise, or is just the diagnosis of it on the rise?
Yeah, so we know that now with 1 in 31 children being diagnosed with autism, that's a scary number when people hear that. But we know that there's kind of a combination of things going on. So one thing that's happened is that we've become much better at diagnosing autism. So kids that used to not qualify for an autism diagnosis, because we've expanded that criteria over the years, and we're able to catch kids that might not have needed as much support, we now can identify that, then those kids are now being included in the diagnosis. We have a lot more awareness going on. People now they hear the word autism. They've heard of it before. They know a family member that has autism and they've seen that child. And so, the awareness piece is huge because, when we know what we're looking for, then we're able to recognize that. And then we've also gotten, much better at being able to diagnose autism. So we have better assessments, better screeners, and like I said, pediatricians incorporating that in their well child visits has really contributed to being able to catch that early.
When you say on the spectrum, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so the spectrum disorder just means that there's a wide range of ways that autism can look in a person. So, you know, you might think about those different levels of autism. So now in the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, we have levels of autism. So there's three levels. The first level is requiring support. The second level is requiring substantial support. And then the third level is requiring very substantial support. So kids can fall into all three of those categories. So you might have some kids who aren't able to speak verbally at all. And then you might have some kids on the other end of the spectrum that are highly verbal and have verbal language that you think is well advanced beyond their age. Then thinking of, you know, the behavior side of that, you may have kids that have a very restricted and rigid behaviors to where they're not able to handle change, and any change in their routine might really devastate them and make them extremely anxious. And then you may have some kids that are on the other end of that spectrum where they're able to cope with those changes in their routine and they don't have those restricted behaviors. And then also with sensory, a lot of our kids with autism have sensory processing disorder, so they can be very under or over responsive to sensory. So you may have some kids that are over responsive to sound. So you see them covering their ears when when loud noises come in. You may see them, constantly like climbing or running or being very, overly kind of active. You may see kids with sensory processing disorder that don't like the textures of foods or don't the textures of clothing. Kids can have any kind of combination of these factors on that spectrum, and then that's kind of how they how their autism is shown to the world.
Let me take a break, Doctor. We'll pick it up when we come back. We're talking to Dr. Krista James. Co-director of Louisiana Leadership Education and Neurodevelopmental and Related Disabilities of the LEND program. And we're talking about autism. We're going to spend an hour on this because I think it's very important. And with 1 in 31 children being diagnosed with autism. And if you're a new parent or a grandparent, you have any questions, you can text them in to 504-260-1870. Dr. James can certainly not diagnose your specific situation, but she can talk generally about whatever it is that you ask. Tommy Tucker, back in a flash, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing I made up my mind was when I got this job, we were going to try to learn different things and educate the audience as well as myself. And today we're spending an hour talking about autism because I think a lot of people know of it, but they don't know about it. Dr. Krista James is our guest, co-director of Louisiana Leadership Education and Neurodevelopmental and Related Disabilities, the LEND program. Tell me a little bit about the program, doctor, if you would, please.
Yes, so we are a federally funded program, and we are the only one in Louisiana. And so we are located at LSU at the Health Sciences Center in the Human Development Center. And every year we take a cohort of people from across Louisiana. We take graduate students from different fields like speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy. We take family members who have experience with a person with neurodevelopmental disabilities, practicing professionals, and self-advocates, so people that have a neurodevelopmental disability. And we take them in the fall, and we work together throughout the year to be able to educate, build leadership skills, to learn about how to best support people and their families that have neurodevelopmental disabilities out in our Louisiana communities. So we're really trying to train our workforce in our communities to be able to provide better supports for people out in the communities throughout Louisiana.
The text line is exploding. Every day, Professor, 9 o'clock. I don't know what it is. somebody wants to know if is Asperger's related to autism, and they also wanted to know more about the different levels of autism. Did you say 31 levels before or 31 different?
Three levels.
Three levels, okay.
Of autism.
Where did I get 31?
Probably from the 1 in 31.
That's what it is. Okay.
That are diagnosed with autism. Yeah. I talked about the diagnostic and statistical manual that we use to diagnose autism. So that's been evolving over the years, our diagnosis, as we learn more about autism. And so Asperger's used to be one of the diagnoses that was incorporated in that diagnostic and statistical manual. And then the new version of it, the DSM-5, we've taken all of these other diagnoses like Asperger's and pervasive developmental disorder, and we've kind of put them underneath that umbrella of autism. So Asperger's used to be the term that now we will call level one autism.
What is that, so Professor Asperger's?
Asperger's and level one autism are where people with autism need support, but they might not need as high levels of support as maybe someone with level three autism. So they may have challenges with their social skills, their communication skills. They may have challenges in the areas of behavior, But it's much less significant in the ways that we need to support them. So they might need like social skills instruction or help making friends or learning how to navigate relationships with their peers. But it might not be to the point of like level 3 autism where they might need significant support to be able to communicate. So that's why that spectrum is really important, because I think people see, you know, one person with autism and they think everybody should kind of look like that. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily the case.
So let me get back to 1 in 31. And is that because of diagnosis or is that because of a change? And here's the question I have, doctor, and people are texting this in. I think it's a good one, which is, if for whatever reason it wasn't diagnosed before, then a lot of people that had a neurodevelopmental disorder were labeled troublemakers or didn't get the help that they needed because it wasn't known back in the day. Am I making stuff up or not?
Yeah, I think you've hit it right on the head right there. You know, these kids used to kind of fall through the cracks and they didn't really get the supports and the services that they needed. But now that we have learned more and we're able to diagnose better, then we're able to get these kids the help and the support that they need at an earlier age, which then impacts, you know, their later years to where they might not have as many challenges in school and they might not have as many challenges with relationships because it's been caught early and they've started to receive services early.
Somebody wanted to know about, let me get to the question here. And again, I know you can't diagnose individual children. My 2-year-old granddaughter was recently diagnosed after only a 2-hour-long evaluation. Are there other tests, X-rays, CAT scans, MRIs done to rule out other possible reasons? Or I guess, and I'll expand on this question, is this something that can be seen on an X-ray or a CAT scan or an MRI? Or is this just strictly a behavioral thing that's where the diagnosis comes from?
Yeah, the diagnosis is done. The best way to diagnose is through an interdisciplinary team, which we have a team at LSU Health Sciences Center in the Human Development Center that works together, a psychologist, a speech therapist, an occupational therapist, and they work together as a team to be able to observe and do tests for the child, and then they come together with all of their results and make a final decision on diagnosis. So that's really kind of like the gold standard in diagnosis, is that interdisciplinary team, because you want people looking at all of these different aspects of development of the child. And then one thing we recommend is whenever parents do receive a diagnosis of autism is also, you know, doing some genetic testing. So going to see someone to look at the genetic components, because we know that autism, it kind of runs in families. So if you have a child with autism, you're more likely that your next child born will have autism. You know, we've done lots of studies on twins to see kind of what those genetic influences are. So a genetic therapist can really look at the genetics of the family and see kind of if there is anything else there that that might be something that could show the same signs or similar signs of autism, or to just kind of compare and see what that looks like across the family.
And along those lines, if there are baby boomers today that were undiagnosed with autism, or children of baby boomers who have had children that were diagnosed with autism, it's possible that they were on the spectrum themselves and just didn't know it?
Yeah, and I think we have a lot of adults now who it's kind of like they hear about autism and the light bulb goes off and they're like, oh, you know, that might be why I struggled so much in school, or that may be why I struggled to have, you know, friendships or relationships, because I have these signs nobody knew back then about what could help me or what it was. And so they just kind of have come up with ways to adapt and deal with it on their own.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We're talking about autism this hour. Dr. Krista James, our guest co-director of Louisiana Leadership, Education, and Neurodevelopmental and Related Disabilities LEN program. This affects a lot of people, 1 in 31 children, and Lord knows how many people were on the spectrum, I guess, if that's accurate to use that phrase, doctor, or not?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a great phrase.
They were on the spectrum and didn't know about it. And now we'll talk about, when we come back, about, okay, if somebody is diagnosed with autism, that's not a death sentence or anything like that. What is done from that point? 9:36, 24 till 10, traffic now, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
9:44, now we're back, 16 till 10, with Dr. Krista James, co-director of the Louisiana Leadership, Education, and Neurodevelopmental and Related Disabilities LEN program. I was saying, Doctor, I saw some people collecting money for autism over the Labor Day weekend, and I thought, you know what, there's an opening for a telethon there that maybe something the autism people should look at. That's just an idea. Let me ask about diagnosis or at least the treatment that's available. Is there any treatment after somebody's diagnosed with autism, after a child is diagnosed with autism? But let me take a step back, because a lot of people are texting this in. Is it possible to diagnose an adult with autism?
Yes, it definitely is possible. They would need to find, a psychologist that's trained in diagnosing autism. And many people now that, they didn't have access to being able to be diagnosed as a child are now realizing that they've had these signs of autism their whole life and are getting diagnosed as adults and really learning about themselves and about, why they have had the challenges that they've had in school and with relationships.
So when it comes to, if you have a child or a grandchild that is diagnosed with autism, what happens then?
Yeah, so depending on the age that they're diagnosed, so if they're diagnosed before the age of three, then we have a wonderful program in Louisiana called Early Steps. And so the people that do your diagnosis will often give you information about how to get enrolled in Early Steps, and they provide treatment and support to the child and to the family. So that might be come in speech therapy, speech language therapy, where a therapist will work with their child on communication and the social aspects of communication. They may also receive occupational therapy, which helps them with those fine motor skills that they might be having challenges with. They might have an educator come out that might teach the family how to work with their child on getting certain skills and learning certain skills that the family might want them to learn.
Somebody wants to know. Go ahead.
If they're above the age of three, then the school district that they you know, your local school district can help them to start receiving services also.
Somebody texted in about, are there schools designed specifically for children with autism?
There are schools designed specifically for children with autism, but I work a lot in the schools in Louisiana. I go in as part of my job and help support teachers to provide professional development and coaching in the classrooms so that they can be better educated about autism and learn how to support kids in the classroom. So our school districts in Louisiana have a lot of knowledge about how to support kids in that in their, you know, community school, their local school, so that they don't have to go to a special school for kids with autism. But there are those special schools available.
So somebody texted in, are we using, is every child that's diagnosed with autism considered a special ed child or not?
No, it's not necessarily that you have the diagnosis of autism, that in the school system, the autism has to impact their learning in order for them to be eligible for special education services. So it might be that a child is diagnosed with autism by their doctor, but yet in the school district, it's not impacting their learning and their education, so they don't receive services in the schools.
Somebody texted in and said they have a family member that teaches autistic children and they have to wear a protective sleeve on their arm. Is that accurate or not?
It really depends on the child. You know, some kids that are having real challenges with behavior, they might be overloaded with sensory input and they might react by biting. And that would be, you know, kind of one specific incident with that child. But one of the things that we do as teachers is we're working to teach kids how to manage those behaviors and how to, you know, if it's because they are anxious because they're overloaded with sensory information, we want them to learn to teach them how to ask for a break instead so that we can give them a break to go and decompress. So we're always trying to teach them the skills to replace those behaviors that we might not want to see.
Somebody texted in, I think this is a good question. If they find themselves in the presence of an autistic child, what should they do or not do?
Yeah, I think it's you need to, each child is so different that really ask the parent, you know, ask the parent, you know, how can they respond to me if I greet them, you know, do they get really anxious around strangers? Do they not want to be touched? And the parent can give you a lot of insight on that particular child. So don't be afraid to ask questions. And most parents are happy to educate and tell people, you know, how to best interact with their child.
So when it comes to cures or therapies, or if somebody's child is diagnosed as autistic, can they go on and lead, I hate to say normal life, because who knows what normal is for anybody, but can they go on and become, is that necessarily a harbinger of bad things for their lives, or that they'll need help all their lives, or can they go on and live self-supporting lives? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. We have lots of people with autism that live independently, that hold jobs, have degrees, and have families, have their own children. So it's definitely something to look forward to in life, because and the best outcomes are whenever they start receiving supports and services at an early age. So as soon as they're diagnosed, you know, getting them into speech therapy and occupational therapy, getting them supports in school, ABA therapy, applied behavior analysis is another therapy that's available. And so getting them into those services as early as possible gives us kind of the best outcomes for the future.
So when it comes to medications, any medications that are used in the treatment of autism?
Yeah, it depends on the child. So if they also are diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, they might be on medications that will help them for that. If they have a lot of anxiety or depression, then they might be on medications for those particular symptoms. There's not a medication specifically for autism, but there's a lot of, you know, co-occurring disorders that come with autism that we can treat some of those symptoms with medications.
And final words, doctor, if you would, for people as it relates to autism?
Yeah, I think that, you know, autism is such an interesting topic, and that we really have to remember that, you know, we have to look at people with autism also have such a wonderful variety of strengths. You know, they tend to be very honest, very direct. They tend to have, you know, lots of knowledge, very interesting knowledge about particular topics that you can learn a lot about from talking to people with autism. So just, you know, thinking about treating people with autism just as you would treat anybody else, and recognizing that they may have some challenges, but they have lots of really wonderful strengths, too.
Thank you, doctor. I think we all learned some. Dr. Krista, not you, but we did. Dr. Krista James, co-director of Louisiana Leadership Education and Neurodevelopmental and Related Disabilities. The LEND program. We'll take a break. Find out what Newell's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.